It was, let's see, where are we going here? So Philip's ministry. Let's look at that one. We just was in Acts. You were guys were saying chapter 8, verse 8. This is I just discovered this lately. So Acts 8, 8. And that was Philip was preaching in Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. And verse 6, the people in one accord and heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing, seeing the miracles which he did. Unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out. Many were possessed, and palsies and the lame were healed. And here it is, verse 8, 8. I almost jump out of my skin when I find it. And there was great joy in the city. New beginning and change for those people at that time. That's a great one. I like that. And a good, this is the way I can remember things, you know. There was eight persons raised from the dead. Three in the Old Testament, three in the New, and the two witnesses. Besides Jesus, he was number nine. If I skipped any or not. We're going to go on and we're going to do seven. And there's a lot more. I'm just kind of giving you a little bit of what this here guy was fantastic. But I'll give you some that I kept with me. But we're going to do seven. And seven's God's perfect number. And I got a couple of things here we can read. Let me see here. Oh, seven right here. Okay. In Revelation, the Word of God. This is the Word of the Lord. Book of Revelation. There are seven. Is used throughout. There are seven churches, seven spirits, seven stars, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven veils, seven personages, seven rooms, seven new things. Seven symbolizes spirit of perfection. And seven is good for the completeness and spiritual perfection. The life revolves around the number seven. It is used 735 times in the Bible. And so we know that God's number is perfect and completion. And the revelation has been complete. There's nothing beyond that. It was our last thing to us from God. Now here's something interesting. John chapter 7 is all completely divided by 7. And there was a ton of these. I took some of these in the reading to you. The right page here. Okay. In John, seven times Jesus says, I am. Seven times says, I will. Jesus went to the mount seven times. His disciples went to the sea seven times. The world, 77 times is mentioned, divided by seven, comes out even. The light, 21 times, divided by seven, comes out even. Witnesses, 28 times, divided by seven. Life, 35 times, divided by seven. Sea, 105 times, divided by seven. Jews, 49 times, comes out seven. Belief, 119 times, come out seven. All these things are divided by seven, comes out even. And Jesus said seven things from the cross. And I like that too, in the priest in the Old Testament, to cover sin, he sprinkled that blood, and that's in Leviticus. Seven times to the east on the Ark of the Covenant, on the mercy seat towards the eastern gate. And then we find Jesus said seven things from the cross. He said, this is finished. And then we look in Revelation 5, where there are seven things that we give him glory, honor, and power, and the other one, seven of them. Here's another thing here, seven. The number divided by seven, Moses, his name, no Moses is 868 times, 28 books, over a writer, over a period of long time. I'm using only the King James Version now. Divided by seven. Aaron, 350 times, 12 books, divided by seven, comes out even. David, 1358, 21 books, comes out by seven, comes out even. Abraham, 77 times, 14 books, divided by seven. Saul, 294 times, Old Testament. Paul, 782 times, 14 books, divided by seven, comes out even. Peter, 756 times, 10 books, divided by seven. It's the word of the Lord. He only used the King James Version, and I like it too. They got the King James Version now, the original, and they come and it's there's a few around. They're worth $500,000, and they took it and they copied every page on it, and you can buy one. They got them in Phoenix, Arizona now, and it weighs 30 pounds, 17 inches tall, and you want one for your church, it'll cost you $1,000. But they are out there, and it's original, and it's a 1611, the original King James Version, and it will be 400 years old in two more years, 2011, 400 years. I thought that was amazing, but you can get one if you want one. I don't know what you're going to do with a 30-pound Bible. Well, when they come over here on the Mayflower and that, they brought the Geneva Version, and I got a family Bible home. I weigh it. I said, maybe I got it, but 5 or 6 pounds. But it's a big thing, you know. And it's got two versions alongside of each other. But he feels, and it was the word of the Lord. Now, I always use the King James. Uncle Dave got me a new Schofield Bible, but it's pretty practically the same as the 611, except a couple words were changed. All right, where do I go from here? We're going to do 10. Okay, we're going to go in Genesis 1:1. The 10 is for a testimony. And so we look at 10. In Genesis 1:1, what does it say? 10 words. In the beginning, God created a heaven and earth for a testimony. And then we go to, let's turn my page over. Page 2. Okay, where am I here? Oh, well, we got the Ten Commandments. And it was for a testimony. We couldn't live up to the law, but the laws are a standard. And God gives those Ten Commandments. They were in the Ark of the Covenant in the first temple. And the rod that budded and the pot of manna was God. In the second temple, they didn't have the Ark of the Covenant. There could be the Ten Commandments out there somewhere. It may not be. The Ark of the Covenant may be out there. It may not be. The Noah's Ark may be out there. It may not be. We're supposed to live by faith. I have a feeling that these things may turn up, but we will see. But the two tables of the Ten Commandments for a testimony. There was 10 plagues in Egypt for a testimony. The word of the Lord. We get 1/10 of our earnings. The 33rd time that Jacob's name appears, he gave a tenth of his income. And we give a tenth, not mandatory, but I always have the tenth of our earnings as a testimony, our testimony back that we belong to the Lord. Now, I always like what Uncle Dave said, and it stayed with me for years, that if you give under 10, it's going to cost you. And if you give over 10, you're blessed. And it's always stayed with me, and I can almost say for sure that it happens. You get over 65, you're supposed to get it all the way because you're not going to be here too much longer anyway. But. And I try, I do that, and then I get so much back that I can't, I'm exhausted trying to keep up with all of it, you know. So I back to 10%, you know, slow it down a little bit. Matthew 10, verse 30. 10 words, all the hairs in your head are numbered. And that's chapter 10, verse 30. 10 words. And so it's for a testimony. God is the word of the Lord. I like Romans 10:10. With man's heart, believe unto righteousness. With his mouth, confession is made unto salvation for a testimony. That's an easy one. Romans 10:10. For a testimony. John 10:10. This is really one of my favorites. And I didn't always know where this was. But by doing the numbers, it's really... And we all know what that is, I think. But I'll look it up here. And that's life more abundant. Where is it? 10:10. Yeah. The thief cometh not to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So that's for a testimony. And then we think about the thief on the... No, let's see. Well, there's one other one I missed. The Lord healed 10 lepers, and only one come back to thank him for a testimony. So 10 for a testimony, and you look in the words of God. Now, these don't always sit, but you'll find a lot of them do. And I just love it. I really get excited about numbers. Sometimes you guys are preaching, I'll be sitting back there and say, wow, look at that, you know, and jump out of the seat. Jesus had 10 appearances after his resurrection for a testimony. New Schofield Notes recorded. And then 10 days after he ascended, came the Holy Spirit on Pentecost for a testimony. It's the word of the Lord. And I really do enjoy numbers. I don't know how you like this, but I think it's great. Okay. Now, where am I going to go for here? I haven't spoken in a long time. You have to forgive me. So we're going to do three. I can find it here. Three is for... another note. Three is for God is in it. And it's a divine. God is in it. I don't know where that went. Oh, here it is. Remember Jonah. 3 days and three nights, Jesus said, in the heart of the earth. Well, and Jonah was the same. 3 days and three nights in the belly. And that was what the Jews were seeking for that time. And that's the only time you give them. Three is for God is in it. It's divine. He provided a great whale. And Jonah was got swallowed up. And then when he went down to Nineveh, if you look in, let's look in Jonah chapter 3, verse 3. I've got them all marked. You can find that. Jonah 3, verse 3. I like this. Here's another one. 3:3. And Jonah arose and he went unto Nineveh, went down to preach according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was exceedingly great city, a 3 days journey. There you go. God was with him. God was in it. 3 days. Some say it was three days walk around the city. Some say it was 3 days going down through the city, or it was 3 days journey down to the city. I don't know, but it was 3 days, and the Lord was in it. Three is for a testimony. I've got some more threes here. You can jump in. You want to talk to me? It's fine with me. I like people. I don't have nobody to talk to. When I get in, boy, I really talk, man. They can't shut me up. And then, about 2 or 3 days with people, like, you can't get nothing out of me. okay. John 14, verse 6. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There's three things. And the Father, Holiness, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, of course. Jesus said, this is my beloved Son, who I'm well pleased. Three times. Three times the Lord said about those who believe. John chapter 6, verse 40, 44, and 54, I will raise him up in the last day. Three times. It's divine. God is in it. John 3, 3. Here's one of my favorites. I do this for the kids a lot. You can look at that. If you can't remember this thing, now let's see where it gets. There it is. John 3, 3. Chapter 3, verse 3. But thou, O Lord, art my shield for me and my glory, and the lifter up my head. Boy, we sure do need our heads lifted up in these times, don't we? Three things, John 3, verse 3. Easy to remember. The Lord, word of the Lord. Okay, I guess that's about it. We have something unusual, and I don't know. I mean, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I just noticed, three house brothers were saved and baptized, or three Lehman brothers saved and baptized, or three Paquette sisters saved and baptized, or three Paquette brothers saved and baptized. Mark's got three boys, and I don't know if they're saved, but they're supposedly saved and baptized. I don't know on that one. Becky's got three kids, and she told me that the part two of them were saved. I don't know what the little guy now. And I think Molly's baptized. And there's more. There's just a bunch of them. You can think about it. It's just, now, if you only have two kids in the family that are saved and baptized, don't mean anything, but I know God was in our lives, and so that's really great, you know. Something I just happened to notice. Well, I don't, what time am I supposed to stop? 8 o'clock? 8? Cool. Wow. Well, I thought we would do that, and then we'd do some prophecy. There was more in numbers. I like the 7. 14 is for our deliverer, and you will find 14 in there. And if I have a lot of time, we'll do the last one, 14. So I'm going to go to the other notes on prophecy. We're already done with them. But Jim asked me to do a little prophecy, so I can't do nothing without my glasses. They fixed my eye, but I still have a hard time reading. Let's see where I went with them. I had quite a day of it. It was a busy day. The farm is really going good. We got some lettuce in. We got some things in the ground. Turned the ground over. And we got some more snow coming. I almost got killed twice. Last year, I cut a tree down and just missed me by inches, hit the stump. I had it tied off and everything. And that makes you know that the end is close to your own life. And then this year, I snowblowed, and my road has become a throughway out there. And we're snowblowing with a tractor with a hat on, a sinus trouble. I got glasses and hat and riding an open tractor. And I cleaned out the mouth of the driveway. I turned the, and looking for cars like this, because you don't want to get any stones to get a lawsuit, bust the window out, and make sure you don't hit anybody. I turned the tractor around, stepped off the tractor, and took two steps, and the lady hit the brakes, blew the horn, skidded around. She just missed killing me. So now we put a little red reflector out there, because years ago you could kind of wander around, but now they come down through there, you can't see, and she had a silver car on top of it in a blizzard. So I see that reflector now. I don't want to end up like Mr. Walters, you know. I don't want to beat the rapture. Okay. End times, this is a lot of numbers. I think you can tell a lot by numbers now. But this is the book that David Jeremiah wrote. And Jim got a copy, and he gave it to Phil. And I was going to give mine to Phil, but he's already read it. But I give this to my neighbor. And my neighbor, we've been good friends over the years. We've done a lot for each other, more because we live next door to each other. Not saved. His wife is a Methodist. Claims to be saved, and her boy and girl both went to Circle C and got saved when they were kids, but they're living worldly, and he tried to drive it out of them. So I asked him, I was over there, to have me for dinner around Christmas time, and he said, sure, he'd read it. So I got the one, and I gave it to him, he brought it back Tuesday night. What in the world is going on? There are 10 prophetic signs. And he come in and set it on the table. He says, Neil, this is scary stuff. So I don't want to scare anybody tonight. But and then when he went out the door, we talked quite a while, and he knows all about salvation. I witnessed to him, and he's been a tough nut to crack. And we prayed for him. And he said, well, Neil, I'm not bad enough to go to heaven. I'm not good enough to go to heaven, but I'm not bad enough to go to hell. And so I don't know what I know what to tell him, but that's his thoughts in his head, you know. So we pray for him. He sees what's going on. We are getting in a scarier time here in the end times. I was thinking about the numbers. The numbers out there. It's just 2 million gays in Brazil parade. 2 million over here. 1 million sexual things in Thailand. Oprah. 1 million New Agers. People living together in the United States. I forgot how many thousands or millions. They sold 16 million gallons of beer last July. Now they have these binge drinkings. They killed 140 guys and drank themselves to death. And it's worldwide, and it's getting bigger and bigger. And in the meantime, we're getting a lot of people saved, too. Don't get me wrong. But these numbers tell me a lot. And these are huge, like the guy next to me, huge numbers. And we're going to take the census next year, and we're going to hit 7 billion people in 2012. They figure in 2020 we're going to hit 9 billion. And the farmers, I listen to farm reports all the time, and they don't know how they're going to feed them. They're having meetings now, and half the people are starving now, you know. So this tells me a lot, you know. I don't know. There's a lot of people, a lot of things going on. It ain't Godward and God ways, you know. And I used to say it's exciting times, so but it's getting to be more of a challenging time. There's one outfit that keeps track of murders. It had 170,000 murders got murdered last year in 10 countries. We don't realize what's going on. We kind of cry over this little thing and that. And they're standing up for their faith. In India, there's one county that'll give you $250 if you kill a pastor. And if you burn his house down, they'll give you food and meat. Well, it's pretty tempting when you're starving, you know. And this is going on in a lot of places. We don't realize it. In the same time, again, a lot of salvation, you know. So I was going to do first one, Daniel. Here's how I remember this. Daniel 12:4. 12 is for government, and 4 is for earth. I lost my notes. I don't know where I am. So look at Daniel 12:4. I got these all put in the right spot anyway, markers. Many shall run to and fro. Well, let's read it correctly. O Daniel, shut up the book, the words, the seal of the book, even the times of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And boy, haven't we run to and fro with the airplanes? They're going to put a bullet train from here to Niagara Falls in New York, 120 miles. The airplanes and the travel. I talked to this guy. I'm working in Ireland. This guy's flying to Africa. And so when I was a kid, my dad, when they used to take a car to Connecticut or something, they had to stop two or three times, take the head off, grind the valves, and clean the carbon. You didn't go. Now you drive all over. They got airplane tickets. Just now they get the airlines real cheap, and you go to fly down to Florida and for a few hundred bucks, even less than that, and they can rent a car for 2 weeks for $30, drive all over the country, you know. So many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall greatly increase. I can't keep up with the knowledge. I am completely don't belong to this generation. I had to get the kid next door. I got mucking with the TV one night. I only watched the weather I like Christian television. I watch a lot of Canadian. And I got the converter box. Now they had to set that up for me. But I called up Martha. I said, is the computer geek out of bed yet? I said, I ain't going to have no television. I lost all the channels. I know how to get it back. Of course, I was busy picking berries. And he come over and he's a couple of buttons and bingo. He got it right back, you know. So they need, but I just told Logan, I said, you guys need us to feed you, but we need you to keep us going. So the knowledge has really increased, and we all know that. There's no problem with that. So that's a sign that's here at the end times, and it says end times in that. The other one is Israel, and I was thinking about the temple, and I got excited back there in 2000 when they started rebuilding, getting ready to rebuild the temple, and they got all the stuff ready for the temple. They got the 71 Sanhedrin priests ready. They're ready to rebuild the temple. The chief top rabbi at Temple Mount Institute, they have a college, they train them, they know, they get all the stuff ready, and he wants to build, and they agree, now this is what they want to do, build it next to the Dome of the Rock on the north side, or right exactly across from the Eastern Gate. The original Eastern Gate is underneath the Eastern Gate. They found it. So that's where they want to build it, and they've been talking to the Muslims behind the closed doors, or how you diplomatically. And what it may boil down to, if you Muslims can have East Jerusalem, if you let us build a temple next to the Dome of Iraq. Well, it sounds impossible, but, you know, the Muslims, they lie, and they like to say, sure, go ahead, and then after a while, they're at the temple, now I'm going to have East Jerusalem, you know. So that's the story there. They're ready. They used to say 6 months to put it up. Now they can put it up in no time flat. I had the article on that, and I give it to Phil. I have another article on that, so that come out of Southwest Radio. So that's a sign that they're ready for the temple to be rebuilt. We know in the tribulation we got to have a temple because the Antichrist sits in it, and then the Lord comes back. And it's a fake temple, a false temple, the Millennium Temple, which is in Ezekiel chapter, actually there's another new beginning. There's eight chapters from chapter 40 to chapter 48. That's the Millennium Temple, and that's the one Jesus is going to come back and rule and reign, and we'll be with him 1,000 years there. So that's in progress. And what else did I have? Did you find my notes? Let's see here. Here we are. Well, another thing, and that is in Genesis. Genesis 6, verse 11, and Luke 17, verse 6. And the Lord said, in the Mount of Olives discourse, the building, eating, drinking, and all them things, marrying, giving in marriage, and it would be like the times of Noah. So go back and look at Noah, Genesis 6, verse 11. And this is what we got now. Genesis 6, verse 11. And the earth was, and here's Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Ten. And the earth was corrupt before God, and earth was filled with violence. Now, what do we have nowadays? Have you ever seen so much corruption in your life? Every time you turn around, another politician, and violence, and all these shootings, and I don't know if somebody will come in and shoot me during the night. I don't know. I've been out there by myself, and you have to put your trust in God. Now, what's going on is, in the United States, there's work I have that. I don't know how this applies, because we're two or three are gathered. The Lord is here, And sure, there's angels here too, but they set up, it happens every once in a while, somebody comes in and shoots somebody in a church. So they have a online thing, securitychristianawareness.com, and you can dial that up and it'll make your church a little bit more secure, tell you how to make your church a little more secure. Now, and over in Iraq, in the Kurds, there's 1,600 people in that church. They sit around in the church with machine guns. They're brothers and sisters like us. As the world gets smaller and we're getting like all the other countries, I don't know. But, you know, probably Jonathan and I will get killed because we ought to sit back there for the rest of you. We'll take a bullet for you. And then you guys will hide under the pews and catch the guy, you know. So that's some of the things that are going on. And it's getting a challenge to live this. That Satan is after destroy everything. And I feel we're here in the last days. Israel, 61 years. The Pope is going to Israel's birthday, May 14th. A generation 70 years, that would be 218. Are we a generation to see all these things come to pass? It sure looks like it if you live through this tribulation, if you weren't saved. Well, you take 7 off of 18, that puts us in, I'm not going to set no dates, but we may know in a couple of years. This is 2-9, 2-11. So, we'll see what happens. I don't know. I'm in my last. I get in the white flag now. I'm going to be 70 in June, so we're on the last lap of this race, you know. The checkered flag is coming down the road one way or the other. But, we just take it from day to day like everybody else. But that's another thing, and Israel is God's timepiece. You want to keep your eye on Israel, always watch that. Now we got to talk about the peace plan. And so they signed the peace plan, the tribulation starts. I tell all the kids, you should know when the tribulation starts. Why, Neil? The rapture happened first. But are we in, the tribulation? No, they signed the 7-year peace plan. Where is that? It's Daniel 9:26. The European leader comes out of the European Confederate, which we see formed. 10 nations in there in Daniel, 10 nations in Revelation. They go in and they sign a 7-year peace plan. When that happens, like Barack over there, he is a type of the Antichrist. He changes things, he's charisma, he's doing all, he's involved, and that's just what the Antichrist is doing. He has all the answers, and is he the Antichrist? We're not in the tribulation. You're not supposed to be revealed until we're gone. And that's the way we believe. And I believe if they sign a 7-year peace plan, I may believe something different. But if they do, we know exactly when Christ is coming back to earth. So till that time, now here's something that's going on. King of Syria, which Jim's brother, Carl, talked about, Assad, he's elected for 7 years. The president of Israel, elected for 7 years. Now they're selling bonds, government bonds, they haven't sold them since 1933, for 7 years. You think they're going to sign a 7-year peace plan? You better believe they will. And once that happens, that begins the last week of Daniel, 1,260 days, half, 42 months, times and half times. The middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist goes into this rebuilt temple, declares himself God, and we got to take the 666. And a lot of people are saved in that period. But that's the scenario coming up. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, they had that in Springbrook this morning, Mr. Enzinger, and it was exactly 173,883 days, and they got that on the computer from the there were 3 decrees back in Nehemiah, and when he declared that decree to go back and build a wall and a temple, the quiet period up until when Jesus rode in, that was the end of that period, and it was 49 years determined to the people. And we got 59 weeks, there's 1 week to go. That's the church age starts. There's the mystery of the church age. When he signed that 7-year peace plan, the other 7 years. And that's when the tribulation comes, the rapture first. We're in the Bema seat. We're in the marriage supper of the Lamb. We come back on white horses, and he had the 1,000 years reign with Christ. Judgment seat and a great white throne. Rapture happens tonight. Where will you be in 7 years? You'll be in Basra, because Jesus comes back in Basra. Isaiah 63, with blood on his garments. They got that Megiddo's at one end, Lazarus is at the other end. I got a video we're going to show that, where Jews are going to hide during the tribulation period. Lazarus, 25 miles from, and your Bible maps, from Petra, Edom, Mount Seir. We got a picture of Mount Hor, where Aaron's tomb is. We got some good shots in this video, and there's a lot of information. They got a shot of the rock where Moses, and we all went up through there. And so, blood high as a horse's bridle, 1,600 furlongs. Okay. And they went out and measured it. It's 176 miles from Basra to Megiddo, Battle of Armageddon. So he comes in with blood. We don't do no killing. He gets with the wicked. All the armies come against Israel, and we're with Jesus and armies on white horses. And then he comes into the temple, Mount of Olives, splits in half, goes through the rebuilt temple, the eastern gate, and then we go into that thousand-year reign of the Lord. So that's what we got ahead. I made up a list of how many days that I, 70 years, I have to read that, how many years that I've been on this. I'm going to be 70. Here we go. We got a lot of days ahead of us. We keep thinking, well, we're getting old, and that's all. But 70 years, man, is 25,550 days. You add that to 8 years. If you get a strength of eight, you add 3,650 to 292 days. The tribulation is 255 days. We'll be with Christ in heaven. Then you add 1,000 years on the millennium. It's 355. I don't know what that is. I can't get too big a number for me. Anyway, we got a lot of days ahead of us. And that we're not even got to the eternal life, you know. So I don't fear that. I'm not afraid of dying. My neighbor is, but I got to get him saved somehow. We've been into the track thing, so I'll tell you one little story. Then we'll finish up with, I got 5 minutes. We'll finish up with John 14. But I go to Wendy's to get a hamburger on the way home during the summertime. And the girl hands out the hamburgers behind the roadhouse. She got to talk to me a little bit. She said one day, she said, are you going to the fair? And I said, no, I'm going home. I'm a blueberry farmer. She said, I love blueberries. So we got a track, Uncle Dave's track. You can go to heaven without this and without that, without your friends, but you can't go without Christ. And I said, little yellow track, I put it in there. So we become friends. So then Christmas come, and I put took one of your Christmas candy boxes, and Wayne has those personal Bibles with comfort and all salvation verses, put that in there, and I give her that. So lo and behold, she gives me a Christmas card with $10 to Wendy's. So we've been talking through the window, and then gone in a couple times. I found out she goes to Damon. She's 18. She's a nice kid. And we're kind of, I don't have much time to talk when you're driving through the drive-in, but we pray about it, and it's all you can do is pray about something like that. I was trying to get her involved with the volleyball tournament. I just talked with her today, but she's very good in sports, but somehow I tried to, maybe we can, Lord, work it in. I don't know where God goes with it. It's a strange life. You don't know what you're going to get involved with, but nice kid, and I don't have too many unsaved friends, but I do have two or three that I really like, and all I can do is pray for them. And one guy in Irving, my engineer, and these people we witness to, you like them, and I think everybody probably here has some unsaved people that you talk to, you witness to, and they just don't want to close in with an offer of salvation. We'll do John 14. Oh, yeah, I know what I'm going to do. Is for promise. I don't know what I've done with that. Promise. When the 33rd time God talked to Noah, he promised he'd never flood the earth again. He promised a rainbow. We got the rainbow. And there's some really nice promises in here, and you find 33. Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Luke 21, verse 33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. Them are great promises. And 16 is for love. You get them the glories in under 16 of those. I can't think of them. Jehovah Jireh, right? There's 16 of them, and that 16 is for love. So John 3:16, 16 chapter 3 is for God, divine, God is in it, and 16 is for love, and God to love the world. So then we go to, and I like this here, promise, John verse, chapter 16, verse 33. Here we go again with our 33. And what did he promise? And this, like I guess, Jorge read this verse in church here a few weeks ago. John 16, and we'll do 14 too. These things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. And so we got peace. No matter what goes on around us, serving God, if we get knocked off tomorrow, or we die in our sleep, or the rapture comes, we have this peace and this love in us that he's given us. And the world don't have that. We see, he promises the Holy Spirit. We're kind of sealed up like a jar of pickles. And we're sealed with the Spirit. Sometimes my chili sauce on top gets a little dark. Some Christians might be sealed, but they're a little come out of the darkness into the light. And then in the world you shall have tribulation. And we can say amen to both of them. It's almost like two promises there. But ye of good cheer, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And boy, that's great. And he's overcome the world, and we'll be with him forever. And so that's great verse. I like that there. Now, John 14 is our deliverer. 14 is for deliverer. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Oh boy, there's 14, and there's 14 words in there. There's our deliverer. Now we want to go, right on time now, we'll do this thing. The book of Ezekiel. Well, there's the book of Ezekiel. It's the 14th book from the back of the Bible. And we'll go to chapter 14. And if this don't make you excited, nothing will. If you're saved, and you'll know it. And you go to the 14th chapter, the 14th book from the back, and we count the 14th word in that 14th verse. And what is it? Deliverer. Noah, Daniel, Job are in it, and they should deliver only their souls from righteousness. Deliver us from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And where is that at? It's in here somewhere. Oh, 14, 14, 14. Three men overcome the world. No, they overcome the world, flesh, and the devil. Noah, Daniel, and Job. So that's pretty nice stuff. I really enjoy doing that. And some of the kids wanted books on it. They had, the book is out of print, but the tapes I maybe still around. So I pull them out every once in a while and listen to them. So we have, I feel we're getting close to the end. I don't know, and more than you do. I was very excited back there in around 2000, and I looked, and I hear all these things. I thought, boy, the church is going to be so excited about this. And people really don't care too much, no matter what stage of life you're in. If you're a teenager, you want to date. If you are married, you want children. If you are a grandfather, you want to see your grandchildren. And so I think people like to hear a little bit of the prophecy. And I found that out. There's not only a couple of few nuts like me living out by themselves that wouldn't care less what happened, but it's interesting. And all I can do is Israel's God's timepiece and keep your eye on that peace plan. And thankful that God is with us. And boy, he's brought me through a lot of battles, I'll tell you. Well, we'll close in prayer. I'll have Jim close in prayer, seeing that he asked me to speak. He can share the news.
Father, we're thankful that we have a textbook that tells us for the future, and we have a textbook that tells us for the past, but it's all geared so that we can live in the present. And help us, Father, too, as we look at these very many phrases and many sections here, as well as the numbers which have some excellent verses to our hearts and souls. But help us, Father, to share in the present about both the past and the future. The past, that Christ came to die for sinners. That he loves us. That he loves sinners. He doesn't love their sin. But it'll turn. And that looking at what he's done for us in the past, we can accept him now in the present and live on to him in the future and tell others about him. Help us to be witnesses that we've been focusing this year in Sunday school. Help us to be witnesses. Be great to Roger and that's where there's Neil here. and we do pray for him, and the many years of testimony that Neil has shared with him. And yet his heart is still holding back. Not good enough to go to heaven, but not bad enough to go to hell. What a horrible position to be in. And that's good life, but there's only two places. Only two places. And if you're not in one, you're going to the other. And you can't go to one unless you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. So help Roger with prayer and tenderize his heart, soften him, so that as Neil again has opportunity often asked to talk with him and answer his questions, that he might come to a really point of saving knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the other side, we all have our Rogers who we are burdened about, whether it be a lady across the fence or whether it be a lady, people at the end of the driveway. But we have people that we're concerned about, and we should hold them before you too. Help us this week as we go out, empower us to be bold for you and tell us the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thanks a lot for letting me speak.